hold. All right, let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just your word. God, it's the only thing that we have that can transform our life. Lord, we can try a lot of different things in a lot of different ways, and we can try to be good, and we can try to do better, and we can do our best, Lord, and the only thing that you promise us is that's not good enough, that we will fall on our face and we will still be in need of you. So I pray that we can take the word of God, the book that you left for us, and just apply it to our lives, that we would allow it to change our hearts, because that's where it starts, Lord. So I pray that you speak to us today, that you would just put me out of the way. I don't really have anything to say, Lord, but there's some cool things that you've showed me over the past week that, Lord, I think that you just want the people to hear. So I pray that you would just speak this morning, and you would just get the glory for it. We thank you for camp and the lives that were changed. I pray that as Past Point, just the class that's the next step up from the high school, that we could just build those relationships with the high school students, that that they would know that they have a place here at Heartland, and that we could just be that bridge. So I pray that we would just love them for who they are as high school students, and that you would just get the glory for it. Thank you for those who prayed. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, right? And you're like, what? Nobody teaches out of Ecclesiastes. So the book of Ecclesiastes, right there between Proverbs and Song of Solomon. And so, who's keeping up with their reading through the Bible in a year Bible study? Now, Meredith, now she's all about it. She's all perked up like, look at me, right? So this is where we would have been throughout last week. As I was at camp, I was reading through some of Ecclesiastes, and we're farther than that. So if you've fallen off, just jump back on, right? We can catch it. We can catch what you missed next year or around through. So don't get bogged down because it's like, hey, I forgot and I'm behind and now I just give up. You know, pick up where we're at. You know, we should be probably somewhere at the end of Song of Solomon, if not.
No, today is Isaiah 4 through 7.
Okay, well, if not, the beginning of Isaiah. So I knew we were getting there. So anyway, here's what I got for you today. I've got 9 devotional thoughts from Ecclesiastes. 9 devotional thoughts from Ecclesiastes. If you're taking notes, I'm going to slow down. If you're not, I'll speak fast. 9 devotional thoughts from Ecclesiastes that lead to 9 questions for us to ponder. Long title. Yep. You don't have to write it down. That's all good. So, as we were at camp, the days were long and the nights were almost non-existent. Then lead to 9 questions for us to ponder. There's 9. I just don't think I'm going to get to all of them because y'all are asking too many questions. Okay, so... So at camp, we would get there. So the morning would start, not for everybody, but definitely for Paige and I, and for Philip and Meredith, except for the day that Philip overslept. we allowed him to do that. So the day started at about 4 o'clock in the morning, right? And that was if you wanted to get any time in the Word, like any time in the Word at all, before we had to start cooking. And there were several days. Now there was a couple days where we had a little break in the afternoon, but as far as in the kitchen, we started at 4 in the morning, and there were a couple days we didn't leave that kitchen until about 8 o'clock in the evening, so we could go up for teaching. Right? Now there was a small break in the morning where we left for about an hour and a half to go to morning teaching, but then it was right back to the kitchen. So there was no, and it was great. And so, if you know anything about camp or if you've been to camp, the adults, it just kind of stretches. So the nights, a lot of times getting to bed after you finally got a shower was 1:30. So we're talking 2 hours of sleep a night, which isn't a crazy thing, except for when you do it several days in a row, it becomes a lot. So anyway, Ecclesiastes is where I was reading, and God was just giving me some just small devotional thoughts. And I didn't really put it all together till later on. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about today. And I thought I would be able to roll right through these, but I can already tell that we might not get through all of them. And that's all right, because I've got till the end of the year to get through this. So you'll have to come back next time. All right, so 9 devotional thoughts from Ecclesiastes lead us to 9 questions. So if you know anything about the book of Ecclesiastes, it's a lot like the book of Proverbs, right? Just kind of random thoughts, random this, that, and the other. It's maybe a little bit more structured, but it's a lot like that. So it's hard to teach through like the book of Proverbs, because it would take forever, because it's like, okay, well, these 2 verses talk about this, and then these 2 verses talk about this. So it's kind of like that as well, but there were several mornings as I was reading that God was just like, hey, that's a decent thought. right? And so I would kind of underline it and think about it through the day. And so here's what I got. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7, right? So apparently I slept through the first half of the book because I didn't really get anything until the second half. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7, let's start in verse 1 and 2. It says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." So here's the first devotional thought. And like I said, so there's a thought that eventually would lead me towards, you know, a question, something to just kind of think about and challenge yourself with. Because so all these things God's already ran me through the ringer on. So you need to challenge yourself with these things. So here's the first one. A good name is better than everything else. A good name is better than everything else. And what do I mean by that? It says that a good name is better than precious ointment. At the time that this was written, one of the best things you could have was like spices and things like that, this ointment. If you read in the New Testament, it talks about how Mary had this balm that she rubbed on the feet of Jesus. And, you know, Judas was like, "You could have sold that for however much." And Jesus was like, "Leave her alone," right? I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but it said that it's better than precious ointment and the day of death better than one's birth. And it's like, what does that mean, right? Because a lot of these things, it's like, I feel like it's a riddle. And I'm not really good at riddles. So I'm the slow kid in class a lot of times, so I'm not really good at riddles. And then it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. What he's getting at there is a good name. Your name as Christian, your name as Son of God, your name as Chris Cohen or Philip Pugh or Brady Barnes, your name, it needs to mean something, right? When I want people to think about my name, I don't want them to think, "Well, yeah, he taught Pass Point," or "Yeah, he was this or was it." Man, I don't care about any of that. It drives me crazy when people want to say, "Hey, pastor." I'm like, "Don't call me pastor. Don't call me names," right? And I get it. There's a reason. There's a structure. It's all that. But I'm just a normal dude. And the second that I start thinking that I'm anything more than just a normal dude, then I'm on my way down. That you hear about pastors falling. You hear about good men. I've seen good men in my life that I would have banked my life on fall. Right? And I'm not saying that because it's cool. I'm saying that because it's heartbreaking. When people think about my name, and I'm just talking about me because I don't want to make you all feel uncomfortable because I don't know where you're at, but I don't want them to think, "Oh yeah, he did this or he did that." No. I want them to think he followed Christ with everything that he had. And even on the days that he didn't, he realized where he screwed up and he tried to make it better. He tried to get it right. Right? He came to Christ and a good name is better than everything else. You can go and you can try to gain anything you want out of this world. You can go and do the right thing. You can have all. We spend our life acquiring things, right? The new this and the new that, you know, the new shiny truck with big wheels or, you know, whatever it is that you're into. I've got it. A good name's better than that. All that other stuff, you guys know this, it's going to burn. God's going to try that stuff in the fire. You know, your fancy house, your fancy car, your straight A honor roll student kids. Yes, I went there. A good name's better than all of that. And that needs to be what you're worried about, is a good name for them as well, right? A good name's better than everything else. It says it's better than precious one. It's better than anything, because that was the best thing you could get at that time, right? So you could put whatever it is for you in there. A good name's better than big lifted up shiny trucks. Man, all right. A good name is better than whatever it is that you're striving towards, right? That you think is awesome in the world. A good name is better than all of that. That's what we need to be after. That's what we got to be after. So here's the question. Here's the question that I left myself with as I kind of went through this. And I had to kind of like go back through, because obviously I don't write things down. I've told you guys that. You all are all into taking notes. I'm not, so I just don't. But as I was going through this, so what does my name say about me? What does my name say about me? And I'm not talking about any of y'all. You can ask yourself that question. But what does Jason McGuire say about me? And if it says anything other than child of God, a follower of Christ, servant, you know, the things that I strive to be, then I'm off, right? And that's where I've got to be. A good name's better than everything else. And so what does my name say about me? Right? And so that was like right off the bat this week. And I'm like, huh, no wonder I'm in the kitchen this week, right? God put me right where I needed to be, right? And so it was good. And so I'll probably talk about camp a lot just because, you know, we just came back. And when you come back from camp, if you've never been to high school camp, y'all need to go, because Brady and Holly are back there like breaking their neck, shaking their head yes, because there's no way that you can explain what camp will do to you, right? And so it's really good. So, okay, here's the next one. Fast forward down to verse 5. Says it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to near the songs of fools, or the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Right? So here's your next one. Here's your next thought. We can always find what we want to hear somewhere in the world. You can always find what you want to hear somewhere in the world. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Right? It doesn't matter where you're at in life, what you're going through, what your situation, no matter what it is, you can find what you want to hear from somebody. You can go and you can seek godly counsel and you can hear what you might not want to hear. Or you can go and you can hear, you can find the right person. You ask enough people, you can find somebody that'll say, oh, it's not that big a deal, right? You don't need to listen to them. You know, that book's outdated. You know, that was written, that's different. You need to, what you're doing is fine. It's good for you, right? That's what the world wants to tell you. This is good for you. No, it's not. What's good for you is following the Word of God. It drives me crazy when somebody goes out and they get worldly counsel that they know is not right, and they've got people from the world saying, this is good for you. No, it's not. That's a bunch of BS. Tell them to come talk to me. I'll tell them what's good for them. Right? It drives me crazy. Because, and here's the deal. Y'all know godly counsel. Y'all know what the Word of God says. And because you're like, man, I just don't really like that, so I'm just going to go over here this time, right? Because I know what the Word of God says. I can go and ask my godly counsel, right? And I know what it's going to tell me, so maybe I'll just go check over here and see what they say. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. This is good for me. This is a good step for me. No, a good step for you is getting the stinking Word of God, right? I'll just call it like it is. You can always go. You can find what you want to hear somewhere in the world from somebody. You always can. It doesn't matter what it is. It always can. It says that it's better. Now hear this. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Oh man, nobody wants to hear rebuke. Nobody wants to say, hear what you're doing ain't right. Right? It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. The Word of God says, hey, these guys over here, they're singing good news to you. But really, it's bad news. They're singing it to you. What you need to hear is what's hard to hear from the guy who knows the truth. Whether that's godly counsel, whether that's the Word of God, the true godly counsel. And here, this is just a side note. This isn't in my notes. If somebody's claiming to give you godly counsel and they can't show you in the godly counsel where they're getting it from, it's not godly counsel. I don't know how many times I'll hear, yeah, you know, biblically, this is good, right? Where does it say this is good? I can show you where it says this is bad. Come on now. And I'm just, I don't know who I'm talking to, but this is what happens, right? Maybe I'm talking to her. No. She's definitely not bothering me, just so you know. So, okay. Man, we will go anywhere to hear what we want to hear. To make us feel better about our bad decisions. And we will justify it in our heads. We will justify it in our heads to think, you know, these other people, they've got it figured out more than me, and I'll get it figured out sometime, but for now, this is good for me. No, it's not. You know what's good for you is the Word of God. That's the only thing that's good for you. Right? And you can put your situation in there. You can put your situation in there. It says it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than a man to hear the song of fools. For it is the crackling of thorns under a pot. I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. Right? So is the laughter of the fool. Right? So is the laughter of a fool. Because that's what happens. Right? They say, oh, this is good for you. And then when you fall on your face, they're like, yeah, you probably ought not have done that. Well, no kidding. No kidding. You ever notice that it's the ones who say, "Yeah, this I think it'd be good." They're the first ones to say, "Well, why'd you come to me for counsel?" Right? They're the first ones to be like, "You thought it was a good idea to come and ask me." They know that about themselves, and you didn't? Come on now. Here's your question. Am I seeking godly counsel or worldly advice? Am I seeking godly counsel or worldly advice? And you might be like, "I'm not asking for nothing, right? I got this whole life thing figured out." Okay. I've seen how that works out. So when you put your pride down and you decide that maybe you're not all that like you think you are, come back and we'll go back to the same conversation and we'll start over. Because that'll end up there one way or another. That's just the way that it works. Right? And I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm just being real. I know how life works, right? I know how the adversary, the devil, the punk, the whatever you want to call him, I know how he works. And eventually I know where you'll end up. So, you know, whatever that means, you know, whoever needs to hear that, whatever. Am I seeking godly counsel or worldly advice? That's what we got to ask ourselves. Where are we really going for what we're hearing? Am I when I've got a situation in my life that I know that I need God's mind on this, right? And I can go to the Word of God and I can generally find, you know, what the Word of God's got to say. But even then, sometimes it's good to go to godly counsel, right? I mean, it's good to go and hear what the man of God's got to say. Am I seeking somebody that I know is going to shoot me the truth? Or am I going to, you know, maybe it's even a brother in Christ, but they're like, "Yeah, man, I've been through that too, and it's all right." No, you need to go to somebody who's going to take you to this book. Because if the counsel's not coming from this book, it's not godly counsel. Somebody needs to hear that. It's not godly counsel. Number three, fast forward to verse 11. So obviously I'm not just teaching through the book. These are just things that God showed me, right? Throughout reading all this. Verse 11. How far am I going? 12, okay. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Here's your third one. Wisdom has the power to give life. That's your devotional thought, right? Wisdom has the power to give life. Well, what does that mean? Well, hang on, man. I'll tell you. Wisdom has the power to give life. Well, I thought Jesus was the only thing that has the power to give life. Yep. Now we're tracking. Right? Now we're tracking. Because if your wisdom ain't coming from Jesus, then you ain't got no wisdom. Right? Wisdom has the power to give life. It says wisdom is good with an inheritance. Well, that's funny, because how do we gain Christ? We work real hard, live real good, right? No, we all got a case of the can't get right, right? It's just how we are. No, you get Christ by inheriting what? His life on you. You take his blood and cover it, just like they did in the Old Testament, right? Put the blood on the post, cover that thing. Well, the same picture. Right? We take the blood of Christ, the perfect, innocent blood of Christ, and we put that on our life. And now we have the inheritance that God has guaranteed us. It says wisdom is good with an inheritance. And it goes on to say, wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm not stepping on your toes, or maybe I am, and you know, it is what it is. It basically says that you ain't got no wisdom if you ain't got Christ. That's basically, I'm just going to dumb it down for you. You think you got the world figured out, you think you got life figured out, you think that, you know, if I just do this, or I just do that, or if I just am better at this, or I'm just... wisdom giveth life to those who try hard. No. It says, wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Well, wait a minute. To them that have it. Chris, what's 1 John 5:12 say? Flip to it. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I didn't mean like from memory. I didn't mean from memory. I didn't mean from memory. See, y'all got your worldly mind on. I wasn't trying to put Chris on the spot. I just knew he could flip there. No, louder. I can't hear you.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Oh, so if you put that with this, it says that he that hath the Son hath life. Oh, so you got life if you got the Son. But what's it say if you don't have the Son? What's it say? Be dead. You're done. You're done here. Get out. You got like 70 good years. And sometimes you ain't even got that many, right? I'm like 30, I'm almost 34 years old. And I feel like I'm on the downhill slide and I'm on a fast track to get there. I'm telling you. And I'm not just saying that to be funny. I'm not kidding. I can't hardly walk some days. I got out of bed this morning and I'm like, holy smokes. I got my legs all crispy fried from mowing yesterday in shorts. And I'm like, then I put my boots on. I'm like, I feel like I got to walk around like this. I'm like, this is not good. He that hath the Son hath life. But he that doesn't, you ain't got nothing. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You are lost in a world that is all about lost people. And you're never going to get right. You can't get right, right? You're done here. It says that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. You think you got the world figured out? You think you got some street smarts? You think you've been through some things? You ain't been through nothing. Because the Bible says that you ain't got no wisdom if you ain't got life. And you don't get life until how? You have what? The Son. Right? That's what comparing Scripture with Scripture does. It really opens up what the Bible's trying to show you. You know, wisdom has the power to give life. So here's the question. What kind of wisdom am I sharing? What kind of wisdom does my life put out? Is it worldly wisdom? Is it wisdom that, you know, yeah, I've been through that. Yeah, I've done that before, you know. They always say that somebody who's done something, you know, is you know, so many, you know, 100 times better. I don't know, I'm making that up. But they're so much better at being able to get it done a second time because they've been there and they've done it. No. I know the guy who's been there and done it. And I'm just going to take his life and roll with that. I'm going to roll with that. What kind of wisdom am I sharing? If I'm not sharing this wisdom right here, and this isn't the only wisdom, then y'all need to run me out of here. Y'all need to run me out of here and put somebody up here that will, because this book is wisdom. And if that's not the wisdom that I'm sharing, right? Then we spent a lot of time with young people this week. And when I say young people, I mean, you know, younger than me. You know, and these kids are impressionable. You know, you hear all about high school students, right? Or middle school students. And, you know, they get a lot of wisdom that does not come out of this. Day after day after day. And you might be like, yeah, that's why I took them out of public school. Okay, they still get a lot of wisdom that don't come out of this. Right? Day after day. And so when you get a chance, whether this means with your kids or whether this means with somebody else's kids or what, when you get a chance to share wisdom, because they're looking for somebody to look up to, you better be sharing God's wisdom. You know, and you better be instant in season and out of season. Because it's at the time that you think, I'm tired, I'm wore out, I got nothing to give, that all of a sudden it's like, hey, I need you to go talk to this guy right now. And it's like, for real? Yes, sir, yes, sir. You know, that's why I'm here, Jesus, even though I was half asleep. You know, I get it. This has got to be your wisdom. There's a trailer full, and I say trailer because, you know, that's what we do. We shove our high school students out in the trailer, right? No. There's a trailer full of students that just need somebody to be real with them. They don't need you to know this book front to back, because that's what we think. Well, I don't know enough about the Bible, right? Well, guess what? Some of them kids might know more about the Bible than you do. You know what they're still looking for? Somebody to live it out. Somebody to live out the thing that they do know. They don't need somebody that knows all this book. They need to see somebody live it. They need somebody to follow. They need somebody to, you know, the word mentor has always been just kind of, I don't know, it's just weird to me. You know, whatever. I prefer the word disciple. I don't want to mentor anybody. I want to disciple them. Oh, you got to have 16 lessons to do it? No, come on now. Discipleship ain't got nothing to do with 16 lessons. And you're going to get me in trouble, you know, by making me say that. Discipleship is imparting the soul. It is imparting life. And not that we've gotten away from that, but I got to spend a lot of time this week with the man that taught me that. And it was good to get back to where we need to be. Those kids, they need somebody just to love them. Just to be like, hey, what's up today? You know? And to give them godly wisdom. And not just to give it to them, but to see you live it. To see you live it. Because maybe mom and dad don't live it at home. Well, that's fine. I mean, that's not fine. You know, get them in here and I'll talk to them. But, you know, too many... I mean, and some of them have not a care in the world. So don't get me wrong. Some of them students are just, you know, living on cod and I'm just skipping through life. You know, they ain't never seen a problem. You know, praise the Lord. You know, some of them, like, they don't even know some of the stuff that Chris or that Lauren was out there, you know, preaching to them. They don't even know what that stuff is. Praise the Lord for that innocence. There were some of them, and I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but there were some of them that have been through stuff that I wouldn't even dare go through already in life. I mean, just, and they don't need a preacher getting up on Sunday morning saying, hey, live by this book. They need... What?
Oh. Trying to cut my... Towards the head, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's, no, it's all good. I'm like, what? Those kids don't need that. You know what they need? Nope. They need somebody to... they need somebody to come in and just say, hey, how are you doing today? Not, hey, this is what you need to do today. Not even like... They need somebody that is just going to be like, hey, what's up? What's going on in life today? Oh, and maybe you share them a principle out of the Word. You're not preaching to them. There's kids that need that. And I saw that more so than I ever saw at camp this week. Right? And so what, you're like, why are you telling me this? Right? This is the Passpoint class. We're adult class. Because we are supposed to be, and I say supposed to be because I'm not that young anymore, the young adult class here at Heartland. Right? Y'all gonna have to get somebody younger than me to start teaching if you're gonna be the young adult class. But you're supposed to be that, you know, young adult, young at heart. You know, it's not, there's not an age demographic. I don't want to. I would rather see more aged people come in here, honestly. But we are the next. No, I'm not trying to kick you out of class because I knew as soon as I said it, I knew that you were gonna take that.
I know nobody younger at heart than Doug Cox.
That's exactly right. And that's, but no. We are the next step for them if they don't leave. And so obviously I'm not going to get through all these, so I'm just going to tell you something. I got to teach one time at camp. It was one time more than I wanted to, because I told Tyler, I'm like, all I want to do is go and serve. You know, it's all I wanted to do. And he asked me to teach on Sunday morning. We had everybody together. And so when I was graduating HBI, which seems like an eternity ago because I'm getting old, you have to write a dissertation, which is basically a fancy word for a really long paper. You know, somebody, it might mean something else to them, but to me it was like really long paper. So anyway, at the time we were really involved with the youth. And so, you guys at camp, you heard this, don't check out on me. I'm close enough to you now, I'll reach out and smack you. But we spent a week together, we're like family now. When I wrote my dissertation, because I was working with the youth a lot at that time, I wrote it on why the youth in America, the youth and church in America, not just Heartland, but I'm not excluding Heartland from this, are leaving the church and never coming back. Because there are studies, there's books, there's a real life testimony to the second that these kids finally get out of mom and dad's house and get to go to college or get to go wherever else, they walk out of the doors of this church and churches all around America and they don't ever come back. And the percentage is less than 20% make it back to church after leaving. We're talking about church kids, right? The kids that we spend years of our life in the children's wing, and they know just enough of the Word of God to run from it. And so, the reason I'm telling you this as Passpoint is we've got to do a better job of getting to know these kids. Because if we don't, they're going to roll out the doors of this church and say, there's nothing for me here now. Right? The youth group's over, there's nothing here for me. And they need to know that there is something here from them. Right? And maybe it's an adult class. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's something. They need to see somebody live it out. Because here's what they think of you and of me and of everybody else. that we're fake. That's what they think of us. Right? And so that's why camp was so great, because I could be me. And they were like, well, you're not like the other guys. You're not like the other pastors, right? Well, praise the Lord. Not that I respect the heck out of every other... That sounded wrong. I want to be different. I want to be able to be me, 100% me, and still serve God. And still love God and love people, right? And that's what those kids need to see. They need somebody to love on them. And not forced. Like, I don't want y'all to run out of here and be like, oh, I gotta go find a high school student, and don't make it awkward. Right? Y'all are gonna get me in trouble. Jason told me to. Be real with them, right? Just be real with them. And they're like, well, they're not gonna relate to me. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because I guess you know more than I do, or that God does, right? Are you sure? Which one is that? Three?
Four.
That was four?
Well,
no.
Yeah,
oh, we got to do at least one more. We're never going to get done next week. All right, moving on. Anybody got any questions about that? That's where my heart's at right now, guys. Okay, moving on. Chapter 7. We'll finish out the chapter. We'll get into chapter 8 next time. Okay, chapter 7, verse 27. How far am I going? All right. Behold, I have found the one. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. Which did I give you the question on the last one?
Yeah.
I did?
Okay. What kind of wisdom did your life put up?
Oh, all right. Man, so here's what happened at camp. I'm doing my normal teaching, like I always do, and I totally left out the last point. I'm like, I got seven things for y'all, we're going through them all, and I didn't even give them the seventh one. So I don't want to do that again. Because it was really awkward when people were like, what's the seventh point? And I'm like, I don't know, I gotta go find my notes. Behold, I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one, to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I found not. Now that's not, ladies, don't get offended. It's not talking about there's not righteous women. It's not what it's talking about. Lo, verse 29, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, not man more than women, but just that God hath made man upright, but they've sought out many inventions. Right? They've sought out many inventions. Number four, our worldly problems are not God's fault. And y'all are like, well, you don't know my situation. Now, come on, man. Act like I ain't never been through nothing. Right? Our worldly problems? Chris, you've been through some things. Was it God's fault?
No.
I'm not even going to get into some of the things you've been through, right? They can come ask you, right? I can go around the room. Y'all, you've been through some things. Is it God's fault? No. And if you think otherwise, we need to chat. Your worldly problems are not God's fault. But yet we're like, man, if God would just help me with this, or if that... No, if you would just get in the book and believe what you're reading, you would realize that your worldly problems are not God's fault. Man, don't nobody say amen. Come on now. We do. We like to think, well, if this would just happen, right? Or if God would just allow this to happen. Or maybe God's trying to teach you something by what you're going through. You don't understand what I'm going through. I had to sit down with a young man this week. And I don't know how much this I should share. Obviously, you know, it's confidential, but he's been through some things. And when I say some things, I mean, y'all can't touch it. Right? And I'm not talking about MC Hammer can't touch it, right? Y'all can't touch what he's been through with a 10-foot pole. And you're like, well, he's a high school student. Yep. If you don't believe me, you best start believing. Because he has more reason than anybody I've ever known in my entire life, right? And I've seen people lose kids to tragic accidents. I've seen people, you know, things that make you question God to your core, right? I've never met anybody that should have more reason to question God than this kid does. Right? And you know what I had to sit there and tell him? Your worldly problems are not God's fault. Well, what do you mean? No, they're not God's fault. Why does God... Well, we can look at why does God allow that stuff to happen. We can look at all that. But at the end of the day, you're here right now. And this is what I told him. You're here right now, hearing something that you've never heard before. And if one or all of those things didn't happen, you wouldn't be here. You think God doesn't go to extreme lengths to get the Word of God where it needs to go on time. And y'all are fools if you don't believe that. I'm not saying, man, I'm just saying, that's just, that's some real stuff. Our worldly problems are not God's fault, man. He's like, I've searched this life out, this is what the guy's saying. He's like, I've looked into it, and here's what I've come up with. This is the only thing that I found out. That God hath made man upright. God did His job. He made you perfect. You might be like, well, I ain't perfect. Right? I'm too short. I'm too whatever, right? I'm not even going to go down the list, right? I ain't doing that, right? God made you exactly how He wanted you. Exactly. You're like, well, that doesn't make sense. It makes all the sense in the world. Just ask Him. He says, God hath made man upright. But they have sought out many inventions. You know what we do? We take what God made perfect and we're like, I think I can make it better. Right? That happened in Genesis, right? God made this perfect mankind. You get to Genesis chapter 11. What do they think they're going to do? Let's make this thing better. We're going to build us a tower all the way to God. Because, you know, we can. We got this thing figured out. How'd that work out for them? Now I can't understand what the Chinese guy's saying. Because of them. Right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to go back and read it. I ain't got time to talk about it there. We always think we can make it better. We think we can take what God had perfect and make it just a little bit better. That's what some people are, some generations they're known for. I'm not going to tell you which one I'm thinking of, but they always want to take what is all right, what's always worked, and I think I can make it better. Let me hook this to a drill, and I can make it. Man, come on. How'd that work for them, right? How'd it work for the children of Israel? Right, Moses goes up in the mountain. He's talking to God Himself, and they know He is, because like the mountain is glowing. I mean, all you can do is be scared. And what are they like? I'm tired of waiting. Well, if Moses is going to be up there, we'll just make us a golden calf right here, and we'll make this. We'll just do our own worship. Once again, they take what God made perfect, and they think I can make it just a little bit better. That's what we do in our life. We take what God made perfect. You, your spouse. Now wait a minute. Why are you bringing them into it? Your kids. God's ministry. The things that He made perfect. And you're like, well, if I can just tweak them up just a little bit, then they'll be just right. How many times do we do that with our spouse? Well, if they would just get just a little bit, then come on. So we take what God made perfect, your life. Well, if I could just do this, or if I could just lose some weight, right? Or if I could just do this. Come on. God made that thing perfect. Stop worrying about all that and get on track with what God wants you to do. We waste so much time trying to tweak this or tweak that when we could just be just serving. Just serving. Your worldly problems, our worldly problems, they're not God's fault. They're not. God did His part. God hath made man upright. So why are we all walking around like this? Right? I don't know. We always want to make it better. So here's your question. We'll end with this and we'll have to come back next week. And that's all right. What am I doing that's getting in the way of what God's trying to do? Now, I don't think you heard that, so I'll say it again. What am I doing? And not me. Not what is Jason, the teacher. No. You need to say this. What am I doing that's getting in the way of what God's trying to do? And what does that mean? I don't know. If you get out of the way, maybe the ministry will work a little bit better. And I don't mean get out of the ministry. I mean just quit trying to roll and lead that thing. Just do it. You know, what about, you know, my marriage is a mess, or my kids are a mess, or my life is a mess, or my work is a mess, or what are you doing that's getting in the way of what God's trying to do? God's just sitting back there. He's like, all right, as soon as you get done being in the way, I'll go ahead and take it from there. But you got to get out of the way first. God gave you free will, and He wants you to use it. But you got to want to. And He's just going to stand back and wait. And that's why God's awesome, because He's not going to force anything on you. And He's going to say, as soon as you're ready, as soon as you're ready, still, as soon as you're ready, you can get out of the way, and I'll do this. What am I doing that's getting in the way of what God's trying to do? I don't know. What is it? All right, so I'm over time. Sorry, I hate going over time. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. We'll get to the last five next week, and we'll roll. If you got any questions or comments or anything, you have to do it after, so it'll be on your time, not mine. All right, let's pray. Father God, I love You. I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word, God. If it wasn't for this book, Lord, we would be all men most miserable, because the book says that in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So without this book being Jesus Christ, and without Jesus Christ being this book, we would be all men most miserable. Lord, I pray that we would just take the things that You're showing us to heart. Not that we would just have head knowledge, but we would have heart knowledge. Lord, I pray that it would just bring action to our feet, to our mouths, Lord, and that we would just be following You. Lord, I do pray that we would bridge that gap between who we are as the Passpoint class, Lord, a class that are people that are just past the point of no return for You, and then we would just invest that into the younger generation. Lord, we do. We don't want to build numbers in a class. Lord, I don't care if there's two people or 200. It doesn't matter to me, Lord, but I want to see people who take Your Word and live it. And Lord, that's what these young people need to see. So I pray that we would, if nothing else today, be challenged with that. And that You would just use us as vessels, empty vessels, Lord, that are willing to be used of You, Lord. Because as soon as we start filling our vessel up with a bunch of stuff, then it's not going to float. Lord, we want to be empty vessels that can only be filled by You. So Lord, I pray that You would just speak to us. Lord, just allow this stuff to work in our hearts. Send us out this week as lights in a dark world, Lord, that You would just be glorified in our lives. I pray this all in Christ's name.